Baseball is like a racehorse.
Welcome back to the program. The only thing hotter than the weather are the deals going down at Bellman Automotive in Troy, Missouri. Summer may be coming to an end, but the sales continue to roll on. Thinking about one last family road trip before the kids head back to school? Contact Ryan Kemner and his great sales staff at Bellman Automotive today and get an upgrade on that SUV or minivan. Have a son or daughter on their way to college and you want to make sure they have a dependable car that won't leave them stranded? Contact Bellman Automotive and check out their great inventory of used vehicles. In fact, with any new or used vehicle purchase, you will have your choice of a new TV, K2 cooler, or gun. Not only do they have a top-notch service department, but financing for everyone to accommodate all customers. You really can't go wrong with Bellman Automotive, 175 Turnbell Trail in Troy, Missouri. Give them a call at 636-462-3600, BellmanCDJR.com. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. We are guest-free up until the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. And then Charlie Tuna will take over. We do have a text coming in from Patrick at Immaculata, a Catholic parish in St. Louis, is what he told me. I had no idea what that was. Why didn't you guys tell me what it was?
Immaculata,
my bad.
I went there. My grandparents used to go there every once in a while.
Okay. You two are the two that are from here that are Catholic, allegedly.
Raised.
Not practicing. But Patrick is saying
the
girl.
Chagrin of the parents.
The Patrick is saying that the girl at the pool may have some daddy issues. Don't sell yourself
short. This is what I'm saying, Burger. Well, you don't know.
Okay, she told me that her boyfriend lived in one of the condos there.
You don't know.
So yeah, I mean, hey, we were alone. I should have just got some beer.
I'm just saying.
Just went back to the apartment and got some alcohol and just brought it back to the pool and said, "Hey, baby, let's go."
Yeah, yeah. That's the move, man.
It's not saying it's the most.
I'm getting a thumbs up from Giamatti.
It's the best move to roll with in public, Giamatti.
Giamatti's saying that's the move.
That's the move, man.
If you don't got it, flaunt it, let the liquor help you get up on it. That's what Tupac said. That's what Giamatti says, too.
There's a funny line in Workaholics where these girls are all like hitting on him. They're like, why are these girls hitting on him? It's like they all have massive coke problems. And I told them, that you guys are coke dealers.
That's hysterical. Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Jim joins us. Good evening, Jim. How are you?
I'm fine, man. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, the second team did a pretty good job while you were gone.
I really need to give a thanks to J.J. Bailey from KMOV.com for filling in for me on Monday and Tuesday. I know that he probably did a great job. J.J.'s a good guy. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. If you're on Twitter and you're not following J.J. Bailey, you need to. He's hysterically funny. He's at the J.J. Bailey.
The guys did a pretty good job, though, but they're not you, Matt.
I appreciate it.
Thing is this. I called the guys again the other day, and again, too, they were in a discussion about relief pitching for the Cardinals. And is your sidekick still there?
Rocchio, yes, he is.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Would you ask Rocchio to me, because we had this discussion, do you think that, because they kept setting up these scenarios about, you know, relief pitching, you know, such and such, how to do it and things like that. Do you think that you would have let the pitcher last night for the Cardinals pitch until he lost his shutout, or his he was threatening to give up a run before you took him out? I know he was at 99 pitches.
Are you talking about Rich Hill for the Dodgers?
No, he's talking about
Luke Weaver.
Oh, Luke Weaver. Night. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, really, in your mind, do we really need to take him out that quick? Again, I'm not defending the bad job that O did when he came in. But again, too, did the manager let himself get in the way and not let Weaver not pitch until he really got in trouble or gave a shutout? What is your guys' opinion on that?
I think Matheny might be trying to play it safe and saying, he's having such a good start right now. Let's take him out before anything bad happens. That way he can go into the clubhouse with, man, I mowed him down. And sure, he's going to have that feeling that any competitor has, which is, just one more, but I think maybe it might be just Matheny saying, let's get him out of there with this good run, therefore he gets some confidence under his belt. Because he is a young pitcher, and we know how confidence that early in your career, especially with baseball, can kind of make or break you in some ways.
And another thing, too, like with the Cardinals, if they weren't in the NL Central race or now even kind of in the wild card race, I think you would see Mike Matheny manage a lot differently, and maybe he would have left Luke Weaver out there saying, you know what, let's see what the kid does. Let's see how he handles it.
Okay, Matt, and I'll put another scenario to you, like you just said to me about Rich Hill last night for the Dodgers. We don't have Kenley Jensen. I'll be the first to admit that, but as far as premier closers go, Kenley Jensen has probably pitched less innings and made less appearances than any other top-notch closer in this league. My question to you again is this. What is the worst team, and I'm sure you know the answer to this, of blowing games in the 7th and 8th inning and the 9th inning in the National League? What team is it?
It's a team that currently resides in St. Louis.
Exactly. So my point to you is this. Is Mike Matheny a whole lot dumber than Dave Roberts, or is Dave Roberts a whole lot smarter than Mike Matheny?
Well, like last
little
night...
Little column A, little column B.
And last night, that situation with Dave Roberts and the Dodgers, if you remember last year, Rich Hill was in a similar situation, and Dave Roberts pulled him. They were in a really tight NL West race at the time. Now, not so much. Now they're up by 21. The Arizona Diamondbacks are in second place, and they're 21 games behind the Los Angeles Dodgers.
They're like 11 or 12 games over 500.
Yeah.
I get it, Matt. Again, my point is, and you know I beat the dead horse in the ground. But the point of the matter is this manager seemingly all the time gets himself in the way of himself. Trevor Rosenthal I'm not saying Trevor Rosenthal wouldn't be where he is now. But when he went through that stretch last week of 4 games in 6 days, pitching up 23 innings in those 4 times around, when a starting pitcher like Adam Wainwright, remember back when he pitched against Baltimore this year and got raked by the second inning, that starter didn't go until another 4 days. And again, too, he just beats the horse, I should say, till it dies. And again, too, this is why I don't like his managing.
I'm with you on that one. I mean, right now the problem with the bullpen is that there are no really good answers. There aren't. Now with Rosenthal needing Tommy John surgery, and that is just horrible, awful news for both the Cardinals and Trevor Rosenthal, because now we're not going to see him on the mound again until 2019. But right now they have no good answers as far as the bullpen option goes. O has been a disaster. And I saw something, I forgot who wrote it for the Post-Dispatch, if it was Derek Gould or if it was Ben Fredrickson, talking about maybe possibly bringing O back. I'm like, why would you bring O back? He has been a disaster this year. He was good last year. This year he's been a disaster, especially with left-handed pitchers. So I would move on from O. I think right now their best... Go ahead.
I'll agree with you 100%. You know what? If you've got all these great arms down at AAA, start getting a guy ready to do it next year. Get two guys ready to do it next year. But again,
I think they would be doing that if they weren't in some kind of playoff race. If they were way out of it, if there was no chance in hell they were going to make the playoffs this year, I think they'd be more inclined to do that. But they feel that because they're still in the race, they need to do whatever it takes to win these games now and not set the team up for next year and the year after that. That's what they're doing.
I'll agree with you on that, but again, I will leave you on this line that I always give to you. This: when your guy comes in, a Tyler Lyons, a Bowman, or whoever it is, or a Sutton, and he pitches one inning, and he pitches less than 12 innings in that inning and gives up nothing, and my God, you have to pull him out for some stupid reason.
Yeah.
Again, like I say, you're playing Russian roulette because you don't know what you have coming in, and it looks like what you have is pretty good. And again, too, Matheny's not the only one. It happens a lot in Major League Baseball. And I still say this, I think Dave Roberts is a whole lot smarter, and Mike Matheny's a whole lot dumber than he is. Again, thanks for taking my call. I hope you guys have a great weekend. And I'll again listen to any other comments you have. And thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the phone call, as always, and the kind words. I mean, right now they just have no good options as far as the bullpen goes. They just really don't. Right now they're just kind of feeling it out, and they're hoping that someone will step forward and just grab hold of being the closer and take it from there.
Bring the youngins in.
I'm with you, but I think they're hesitant to do
bring
that.
All the youngins, and they purchased Griffin's contract. Gant's start was pushed away. It looks like he might be coming up.
Give me Dakota Watson.
Give me Alcantara. Let's see it.
I just think they're hesitant to do that because of the standings that they're in. That's what it is. I think that had they been, 10 games back from the wild card and first place, you'd probably would have seen them sooner. But they've been hesitant. I kind of understand it. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying I kind of understand it. Ward Cleaver texting in, why can't the city of St. Louis revive the Riverfront Stadium project and make it a retractable roof, and MLS St. Louis can put their $350 million, and that would benefit more than just a soccer-only stadium.
Oh, really? A retractable roof stadium? For how much money? I'm sorry, how much?
$350 million.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Nice.
But Ward Cleaver with a non sequitur there.
I didn't realize you were purchasing building. I didn't realize you were purchasing the supplies for this stadium in 1963.
Are you trying to say that they're going to be a little bit more expensive now?
It's a tad bit. I just don't think. I just don't think a retractable roof stadium is feasible at the kind of money you're going to be talking about for a soccer stadium. Yeah, you're right. It would be more useful than a soccer-only stadium, but it's also going to be a hell of a lot costlier than a soccer-only stadium.
Well, what's an actual ballpark number you think it would cost? Like billions or
what?
With a retractable roof?
I mean, depending on how big the building's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to think. I just know that
I just know that the
mechanics of, first of all, having a retractable roof stadium is going to be costlier than having an open roof stadium on its own or a closed roof stadium on its own. So that's, I mean, you're going to jack
the price
up. A lot
of the soccer stadiums aren't very big. You're like, they seat like 20,000.
Yeah, they're not big in the first place. But again, we're talking about a retractable roof stadium, which is going to be costlier than any other type of stadium. That's just the bottom line.
I can't believe it's taken us this long to say this, but big congratulations to Tim and Anna Marie McKernan on the birth of their son, Jameis and Timothy McKernan. I know they've been trying for a long time. I can't imagine how thrilled they are right now, how happy they are right now. It's happening to two great people. Could not be happier for them. So
now back to why Berger doesn't know football.
Why do I know football? I think Jeff Chedia agreed with me a lot what I said there.
I think he agreed with you at first, then he changed what he was agreeing with you on,
and changed
the argument completely.
About what? About Cap?
Yes, because he went from agreeing with you that he needs to make a statement about football to changing his comments to saying that Cap needs to get in front of everybody and re-articulate the reasoning for his protest and the movement he's behind.
Well, he's saying that he didn't do that from the very beginning.
Yes, I would never.
And he's put him on the eight ball.
I would never disagree with anybody who says that Kaepernick needs to get out there in public to reestablish what he's doing this for, because he did such a poor job last year. That's a very good point, but I think it's a very different point than saying he needs to get out there and talk about how much he wants to play football. I think Chidea is 100% right. He needs to get out there and re-articulate his message, because he did a very poor job last year when you combine the optics with the socks and the shirt and everything else.
War Cleaver is saying that you are adding the 350 with a 450 already raised by the city and state. That's what he's saying.
Well, yeah. Then you got $800 million. Yeah, 20,000 per
that would
stadium
do it
with a retractable roof.
Yeah, that
you
should do
think
it.
That's going to be able to do it. So he said the M.
Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Baby O joins us. Good evening, Baby O. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. I'm laughing at this $350 million. The roof is $350 million.
Well, he's saying $350 million with $450 already raised by the city and the state.
Where is it?
I guess that was the money that they were going to use towards the NFL stadium.
$450 million?
But I think that was the extension of the bonds. I think that ship has sailed.
I'm getting really, yeah. I
don't think Greitens is going to do that.
We haven't talked about the different monies for the stadium and the state and what the MLS was going to put in. We haven't talked about that in like 6 months. I've completely forgotten the details on the financing and what money was available.
Good.
Yeah. Fair enough. Although I do want a soccer team, so let's make it happen.
Well, I would like to have one too, but I just think that it's too much going on, especially when you're asking voters to put up any kind of money, and then when you got a group of people, I guess I'll talk about it. You got a group of people who put this proposal up, then they did a very poor job of explaining it, and they did an even worse job of not even coming to a certain part of the city to even try to get votes. And that's a fact. They depended on one segment of St. Louis, and they didn't. And considering how really little the vote lost by, I think if they would have educated more people north of Delmar, this thing may have passed. Because they said it wasn't going to cost any taxpayer money out of their
pocket. Yeah, they did a very poor job of selling it to the public. I agree with you.
Yeah, and I admit that when the proposal was finally, when it was finally finalized, they didn't have much time. But still, I just think they could have done a better job.
And
but
I think a lot of people just kind of had like a sour taste in their mouth when you hear public money for a sports stadium, and automatically resorted back to Stan Kroenke and the NFL. Everybody got a bitter taste in their mouth. There was just, it was maybe a little too soon.
Yeah, and Dave Peacock name attached to that too.
That too.
They have had some.
And I said that at the time, adding Dave Peacock, who I think did a really good job of trying to keep the Rams here in St. Louis, and considering the pressure that he was under and the cards that he was dealt, I thought Dave Peacock did an amazing job. But
I don't either.
But I did question at the time adding him to the project if that would, you know, hurt more than it helped as far as public perception goes.
Yeah, when you get a failed project, you don't add a person who spearheaded the failed project, especially that soon.
Exactly. Yeah. But, even though it wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't. But you know what? Like I said, there are a lot of uneducated people in town.
You're right.
Where when they just hear a name, they hear Peacock, they hear Stadium, they're naturally going to go against it.
Exactly.
But I want to talk about media in St. Louis and how bad it's gotten. You know, and he doesn't work for the station, but you know Frank O'Pinion is leaving. He's leaving 55-50. And now I just found out that Jeremy Rutherford is leaving the Post-Dispatch. Did you hear anything about that?
I did. I saw something on Twitter about it.
I mean, and what's bad, it's not the fact that these people are leaving. It's what they're being replaced with. And I still, you know, I don't read the quote-unquote newspaper, but I do read STL Today Online. Because I'm not capable of reading the newspaper because of the print. But I mean, these writers, I'm not going to go into names, but that's to say the replacements they've gotten for Miklas and of course, unfortunately, Joe Strauss and some of the other people has been second. It's almost like a college sports section now.
Well, I mean, they replaced them with some young writers, and young writers, it's going to take them time for them to develop their craft. I mean, I would imagine Bernie Miklas and Brian Burwell and Joe Strauss, I would imagine they weren't the same writer at the beginning of their career as they were at the end.
But you know what? I think the styles are different now, too.
That, too.
It's just a different style because I'll say it, Benjamin Hockman, he tries to be Shakespeare in everything he writes. You know, I read some of his columns, and he makes all these old strange analogies. So I'm talking, just get to the point. You know, and let's face it, we have short attention spans now. Unfortunately, and that's every generation. Because my generation, I'm almost 60, and I have a short attention span. Maybe because I think I might be leaving Earth. I want to soak up as much as I can.
You don't have time for fooling around.
No, I don't have time for fooling around. That's why I love the microwave oven. But but you know, I'm just saying, you know, media is really it's really taking a nosedive. And I'll say this again. You've read my stuff on Facebook, Matt. And you've heard me say it, between 6 and 10 o'clock, basically, it's all I really get some sports. I'll throw Frank's show in there, too, Frank Cusimano. But outside of that, you know, I mean, it's every station, too. I'm glad you guys take calls. I know people saying taking calls is a thing in the past. No, it's not. If you listen to sports shows in other towns, a lot of them take phone calls.
No, I like taking phone calls. There's less talking reason, I have to do.
For some reason, this market in St. Louis seems to think that taking calls is bad. And I'm going to tell you something. There are certain shows that shouldn't take calls. Because with the callers that they'll call this show, if we were allowed to call other shows, we would make those people look bad. You guys talk to NBA. I love the NBA talk. Tonight you weren't here. We talked about the NBA trade. And by the way, Rocchio and
J.J. Bailey.
J.J. Bailey. Is that his name?
Yeah.
They did an excellent job.
Yeah, I knew J.J. would, and that's why I asked him. That's why I asked him to fill in for me.
Yeah, he did an excellent job, and they did talk NBA. They didn't talk Game of Thrones.
We almost did.
Throw that in there. But
we almost did, Berger.
Get him started.
The chance was there. J.J.'s a fan. We talked only two segments of sports on Monday. Somehow we got caught up talking other stuff, and yet I kept alluding to Game of Thrones. We never got to it. And then Tuesday we talked a lot of sports, and the times we weren't talking sports, we just had other conversations, so we never got to talk Game of Thrones. I was very disappointed because I knew how bothered you would be by it, Berger.
I wouldn't bother me at all. You two could have done whatever you wanted. Those two shows, those 4 hours, were my gift to you.
You know, my deal is, you call me in a replacement for a show, it's for those 2 hours, it's my show. But you know, take care, guys. Like I said, I'm glad that you guys and Tuna are on, because this is basically the only time I really get to talk and say what I want to say, whether me or other callers make sense or not. And most of the time, we do. You and Tuna got the best callers. You got the best callers in it, but because you give us a chance to talk. We know about sports. I mean, we might say something crazy every now and then, but you know what? That's what makes sports talk so good.
You're right.
If everybody sounded the same, it would be too boring.
Exactly.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, baby.
I'll talk to you tomorrow. Probably.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the phone call. I appreciate the kind words, as always. Nelly's Band-Aid texting in, if I know Bron like I think I know Bron, he is going to sign with Golden State. I've seen him before. That makes me an expert. Nelly's Band-Aid weighing in. They just showed Mark McGwire on the TV, and I thought about this on Tuesday night, the first game that the Cardinals had with the San Diego Padres. Mark McGwire is their bench coach, and he was the hitting coach here in St. Louis. He won a World Series ring with that 2011 team as their hitting coach. If Mike Matheny were to ever be removed as the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, and let's say it happens not this season, but maybe next season, do you think that the Cardinal fans would embrace Mark McGwire as the new manager of the St. Louis Cardinals? I'm not campaigning for it. I'm just running an idea by you. Because I forgot when it was, maybe 2 years ago, when I think it was McGwire's first year with San Diego, and the manager at the time, it might have been Bud Black, got thrown out of the game, and Mark McGwire took over as the manager, and the Padres were losing, and he made like three or four moves, and the Padres came from behind and won the game. And like the moves he made a difference in the game. Because they were talking about whether or not, whether or not Mark McGwire has a future as being a manager in Major League Baseball. Because I mean, you hear Mark McGwire, you automatically think of steroids. But
there's a lot of people who are out because of that.
The further we get removed from the whole steroid thing, does anybody really care?
Yes.
You think people still care?
God, yeah, people. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they're putting him into the Cardinal Hall of Fame on
I know,
Saturday.
And there's people who are angry about that. There's people who think that Tony La Russa is a disgrace to the Cardinals because he kept signing players who were on steroids and didn't kick players off the team who were on steroids and didn't expose it to the media. So, I think there'd be a lot of people who'd be bothered by the fact because of the steroids. I think with how much complaining I hear from people about McGwire, about La Russa, and anytime anybody gets caught with steroids, yeah, I think people would have an issue. I don't think it'd be a big enough. I don't think
how old are these people?
I don't think it'd be a big enough.
Just out of curiosity.
They're older.
Yeah, it seems like it's the older generation that's really bothered by it.
Yeah.
Like the younger generation doesn't
and
care.
Baseball's still moved by the older generation.
I think the average age is like 55.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, is that in baseball, yes, I'll say that's a problem because that's where their watchers are. That's where they're getting their watchers.
Ward Cleaver texting back in, could you get the mayor on to talk about the future of sports in St. Louis? Rocky, you'll get on that, will you? Try to get the mayor.
I'm trying.
Try to see if you can get her for Monday.
I'll work on it. See how it goes.
I think right now the mayor's got bigger things to worry about than the sports landscape in St. Louis. They don't even have a police chief yet.
Not ready to believe her. We'll see.
I'm waiting for him to text in, do you think the NBA will ever work in St. Louis? Usually Ward Cleaver texts that in, too.
I wish. That's all I can say to that. I wish it would.
The two sports that we love the most, Rocky, are not represented in St. Louis.
We don't need to point that out. I'm aware. I've been, I'm painfully aware that this is a fact. I don't see why you're pointing it out to me.
It was released today.
Seems kind of aggressive.
What's that? Me pointing that out seems aggressive to you?
A little bit.
Do you need to cuddle?
I mean, I'm not going to say no to that. But.
Well, I mean, Rocky or Giamatti's right there. He's a hefty guy. He's probably a good cuddler.
Yes.
Giamatti, get over there. Throw your arms around Rocky. He needs it.
What's up, buddy?
It was announced today, the SEC schedule for the Missouri Tigers, and they are playing Kentucky on two Saturday afternoons in February.
Playing, I mean, it sounds like the game's going to be close. Get out of here, burger. Let's go, Tigers. No, I'm kidding.
What's that?
I was joking completely. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be fun to watch.
I think it's going to be a ton of fun to watch.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. When's the last time you've seen
this?
Until
now, I'm going to make jokes about how they're going to crush the Wildcats.
When's the last time you've seen this much excitement for Missouri basketball?
Before the last
Frank Haith's second year, maybe?
Flip Pressy days?
Before the last KU game in Columbia. That's That's the last time I saw people this excited, was before that last KU game, which would have been March of 2012. So 5.5 years ago? Hey, not so bad. I mean, come on. What's half a decade without a reason to root for your team? Whatever. You know, Browns haven't had it for 2 decades. They're fine. They're fine, right?
Missouri at Arkansas is always going to be a good one, too. Anytime you got to play Coach Mike Anderson, it seems like
that's the only,
Tiger Nation gets a little revved up for that one.
That's the only chance that Arkansas thing becomes a real rivalry, is that Mike Anderson keeps coaching the basketball team and some kind of classic game goes down. It's the only way that's actually going to become a real rivalry, because right now it's not, and Mizzou needs to stop trying to make the rivalry happen.
Ward Cleaver, do you think the WNBA could work in St. Louis?
You son of a... Why I oughta?
I can't imagine the WNBA working in St. Louis.
Well, I mean, you usually have to have an NBA team to subsidize the WNBA team in the first place, so...
Not always. They had that one in Connecticut. The Connecticut Sun.
They're not... there's a WNBA team that isn't subsidized by an NBA team? The entire league subsidized by
the
NBA.
That's the only one I could think of, unless it's subsidized by the Brooklyn team.
Huh. Interesting. I know that the entire league is pretty much because of the NBA, so I was just... Okay, fair enough. Never mind.
It's been like that for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I don't think the NBA could work in St. Louis. Or the WNBA could work in St. Louis.
Sorry. I don't think it could.
I'm sorry. Heartbreaking, I know.
I'm sorry, War Cleaver. We hate to break your heart.
Maybe not that.
But another good game is going to be the Bragging Rights game. How excited are you for the Bragging Rights game? That is going to be December 23rd.
It would be hard not to be excited.
Have you been to one of those before?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're so much fun.
I got to cover two of them. And was lucky enough to be down on the court.
I want to say the last one I
blast.
I want to say the last one I went to was when Quinn Snyder was still coaching.
Oh my god! I don't think I'd watched a game. I don't think I'd watched Missouri basketball when Quinn Snyder was. I don't think I'd literally ever watched Missouri play basketball when Quinn Snyder was still coaching.
Is that because you were too young?
I mean, the first I can pinpoint. I remember the first Mizzou basketball game I ever watched. I wasn't a big. Again, I didn't become an NBA fan until after I became an NFL fan. I didn't become a diehard NFL fan until I was like 12. I didn't become a diehard NBA fan until I'm like 15. And the first time I ever watched a Mizzou game was the year they were in the tournament. They went on that Elite Eight run with Leo Lyons and Damari Carroll. It was the fourth game of the season. The first time I'd ever been inside Mizzou Arena. First time I ever watched Missouri basketball play was the beginning of that season. They were not supposed to be as good as they were.
Saturday, February 3rd, was when the Kentucky Wildcats come here. And then Saturday, February 24th, is when the Tigers go to Lexington to take on John Calipari and them boys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the season. There's no reason not to be. It's gonna be interesting to see how Konzo how he coaches this team. Because the weird thing is, this is an NBA. It's an college roster. That looks kind of like an NBA roster, in that
as far as the size go and the position of the players,
there's no true center, which means your five every game is going to be some guy who's 6'10", which again that works now in the NBA, of course. But the thing, college is different. College is still a game where most teams would rather play with a strong rebounding power forward instead of a shooter. Obviously, that's very different now in the NBA. Every power forward, essentially, who gets minutes is a shooter.
You've got to be now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't shoot in basketball, in college or the NBA, if you can't shoot, you're not seeing the court.
And so, but Mizzou has, not only do they have Tillman, and they got Jonte, so you got your big boys there. You also have Kevin Poirier, who's a three-point shooter at the four. You got Michael Porter Jr., who's 6'10". You can run him as a stretch four or as a classic three. I mean, there's just so much potential, and I'm just wondering how Konzo's going to do it, because he's been one of those guys who's been very traditional.
There's a lot of pressure on Konzo Martin, because if Konzo Martin cannot get these ingredients to work, he's in a lot of trouble.
And at Tennessee, and even so in his last couple stops at Cal, he continues coaching a more traditional type of game, which... I don't have a problem with it necessarily. I just don't think it's the most I just don't think it's going to be the smartest way to play with this roster. And so I'm wondering if Konzo's going to make those changes, spread it out, go a little bit smaller, or is he going to find a way to crowbar in lineups that have both Jonte and Tillman out there at the same time?
We're going to find out what kind of coach Konzo Martin is. Basically, we're going to find out how good of a coach he is. And if he's not a good one, and Mizzou wasted all of this great capital they've earned in recruiting reporters.
They wouldn't have got this without Konzo Martin. So is that this kind of a...
Okay, yeah. Well, okay, so he got the recruits in, but now can he coach him? That's what we're going to find out.
Yeah, but you won't be able to reverse it and be like, well, with all this talent, you couldn't do this. It's like, well, technically he's the only coach who would have gotten all this talent, so...
War Cleaver texting in, do you think Matt Rocchio and Doug Vaughn would make a good couple? Not only would they make a good couple, that's a power couple.
He's a nice guy.
That is a power couple right there. You want to talk about the St. Louis power couple? Movers and shakers? Matt Rocchio and Doug Vaughn right there.
See, that's the problem is I don't want to be a power couple. They do all the work. I'll stay home.
TJ, I'm sorry. Text again.
Take care of the home.
Good show, guys. Bonzo. I heard that that's a new thing with Danny Mack the Midday Grind.
It also terrifies me how much sway some hosts on this station have with Danny Mack. It's worrisome to me.
I've really come to appreciate Danny Mack.
Oh, God. I mean, I just love that
I was not that big of a fan, but over the past couple years, he's really grown on me. I've really come to enjoy him.
Word Cleaver did not spell my name right.
Well, you don't exactly have an easy name to spell.
Spelled it Rochico. That's a new one. I'm just saying.
I knew what you meant, Ward
Cleaver.
Ward
Cleaver. I'm just saying. You know? Throw a little respect on the name. That's all I'm saying.
But I do enjoy Danny Mack now on the broadcast.
Why do you say now? I've always enjoyed Danny Mack on the broadcast. You one of those people who inexplicably hated Danny Mack?
When he first got on the air, he seemed kind of nasally and kind of a nerd.
Oh, people are crazy.
But now I enjoy him.
I don't understand people who...
It took a while.
...who weren't down for that.
I think because I was so used to Joe Buck calling so many games, too.
I sent out a tweet earlier today, right as the show started. The best Jay and Silent Bob movie is Dogma. Don't at me.
And who added you?
Claudio? Nobody. I got a like from Charlie Marlowe.
Oh, there you go.
Day one.
There you go.
But by the way, that's my hot take for the day. The best Jay and Silent Bob movie is not even technically a Jay and Silent Bob movie.
I forgot who the...
It's Dogma.
I forgot who the announcer is for the Florida Panthers. But he had a relationship with Dan Le Batard where the audience would text in movie lines.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So whenever there was a goal scored, he would shout out the movie line. It's hysterical.
Randy Muller.
Yeah, Randy Muller. That's it. Pretty sure they had him on We Are Live when they were still here, and we just ran a bunch of them.
So Le Batard would have his audience text in one-liners from movies, and he would use that.